At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Do you feel like you're the only young person who cares about your Catholic faith? Do you look around at Mass and only see silver foxes?
We're Jake and Kathy, a young adult married couple, and we're here to tell you, you're not alone.
That's why it's time to get Truth Pops.
You're going to get a podcast designed specifically for you, a young adult Catholic in a pop culture world.
The countdown is on for Truth Pop.
We'll connect Christ into culture.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 97. Of What Else. My guest today is singer, songwriter, author, speaker, husband, father, friend, Michael Morgan Donaghy.
Wow. That was quite a list you just compiled. I appreciate it. Except for the friend part is wrong. I like villain or sworn enemy, something like that. I'm just kidding.
Nemesis.
That's a better word. You win.
I will start off with two quick funny stories. I called you a few moments ago and the phone answered and a piano started playing.
Oh, you got my voicemail. Yeah.
I did not know that. And I started singing to that because that feels like something you would do is you're obviously working on music. So I gargled some lyrics.
I love that.
And then it was your voicemail. The second funny story, when you gave me the good word that you and I could chat, I quickly did a Google and I found top 10 quotes by Mike Donaghy.
Wow, that's a thing.
And so there's a graphic that says Christianity is not about how much faith you have. It's about who your faith is in. And then it says Mike Donaghy. Here's the kicker. There's a picture of Jeff Owen next to the quote.
That's perfect. That is a perfect demonstration of the internet. What's funny is that's not my quote. I think I ripped that off of Tim Keller. So there's just all kinds of things wrong with that internet machine.
I did send that to Jeff and he texted back. He was offended.
My favorite quote on the internet is, you can't trust everything you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln.
There's a girl in the corner. Tear stains on her eyes from the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are? What has been done? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade.
I just turned 40. I full on, it's not cool either. You know, we don't live in a culture that venerates age. We're not living in Okinawa, okay? Like, if I was on a small island off the coast of Japan, 40 would be super cool. But here in America, we're like, give me the young people who don't know what they're doing. That's who I want to listen to.
Did you get to do anything special at all at about 40th birthday?
You know, we had my family, my parents came down and we had a little family dinner. We adhered to the numeric rules that the government has suggested is safe to be in one house at the same time. And we had a lovely little dealio, which, you know, was probably good because I tend toward large, more demonstrative sort of acts of appreciation and whatnot. And it was probably a good lesson for me of, hey man, you're turning 40. It's just all going down after this. So, you know, not even your party's going to be a big deal. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sort of kidding. I am kidding. I actually believe that my best is always ahead of me. St. Augustine said something to that fact. And that is as a Christian, I actually always believe that my best is ahead of me. And that's actually true if all these promises about seeing Jesus face to face are indeed reliable. Our best is always ahead of us.
I can't believe what she said. I can't believe what he did. Oh, don't they know it's wrong? Don't they know it's wrong? Maybe there's something I miss. How could they treat me like this? It's wearing out my heart, the way they disregard. This is love, or this is hate. We all have a choice to make. Oh, Father, won't you forgive them? They don't know what they've been doing. Oh, Father, give me grace to forgive them, 'cause I feel like the one losing.
Unplugged for the People is released as you and I are recording this. Is this indeed the final bow of 10th Avenue North, or just for now?
For the foreseeable future, yes. You know, you can't ever say there's no way we would ever get back together and put out another album. But everyone in the band really made it clear they want to do other things now. So it is the last album of 10th Ave for now.
I don't know how you are about older songs. I got very nostalgic. Mm-hmm. You Are More reminded me of me taking a step into Christian radio. I'd been doing mainstream radio for years and years and years. You Are More was right around the ballpark of when I started.
That's crazy to me because you just seem so old, you know? I'm just kidding. You have a very youthful spirit, actually.
But I got very nostalgic with each of these songs. When you perform or when you went back and sang these songs, does that happen to you because of the circumstance of recording this particular record? I mean, did you take a walk down memory lane?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I had to drive over to my friend Gareth's house to borrow his blow-up dinosaur costume for my daughter for tomorrow. And I put the record on. And the thing is, when we were recording it, it was also like, hey, just send me some files. We did everything. We sent the files all back and forth because it was in the midst of the like very strict lockdown of the pandemic. And so I didn't feel a ton when I was recording them. But then today, today the record came out. So I put it on as I was driving in my neighborhood, and whew, not gonna lie, it all started coming back to me.
Any particular song?
Yeah, it's all coming back, it's coming back to me now. That was the song that came to my head. I know, I'm so dumb, I'm sorry. Each one, every single song was just hitting me. And the nice thing is they're arranged differently, so there's this It's the best way to get nostalgic is with like a new aspect of nostalgia. So there's this nice, I'm enjoying the music, but also reminiscing about the OG. So yeah, each song was really special.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for this pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go.
You'll remember this as the record during the pandemic. I got to I Have This Hope, and I thought about the time my daughter and I came and saw you in Shipshewana, Indiana. I didn't tell you I was coming. I just wanted to be a fan that night. You came out into the audience and sang that song from atop the chair in front of me and used my head of hair as your balance.
Yeah, I remember finding you in the crowd and being so pleasantly surprised. It's nothing is nicer than when a friend comes to your show and doesn't tell you that they're there. You know, there's something nice about that. It makes you feel like, oh, you really do like my music. And you've always been that guy that I go, I think Corey, he works in radio, but he actually really loves music. And that's just beautiful.
You know, solo career, are you going to dabble? Is that something you want to do next? Where's your heart?
So what's funny is, you know, the pandemic started and I wasn't writing at all. And then we started working on this record. And I really sat there. I remember we finished recording this record and I've got finished singing all my parts. And I really had this sort of what now? And my band all doesn't want to keep doing this. And do I keep going as 10th Avenue North? You know, because everyone goes, well, you didn't quit on them. Everyone else wanted to do something different. So what's wrong with you keep going as 10th Avenue North? Because you're the singer of 10th Avenue North, so no one's going to know the difference. And there was just something in me that really felt like I'm supposed to take a step in a new direction. I can't quite explain it, except for that I think it was God who's saying, it's actually riskier for you to just kind of start over musically, and that's why it felt like the right thing to do. I just think God really loves it when we take risks because we show him we actually trust that he's going to catch us. So I sat down one day and I wrote this song called Flourish, where the chorus is just that even though it's in the middle of a lockdown, even though, you know, we just had our tour cancel, even though I have no idea what I'm doing and no idea what to do for even a job, I actually believe that God's going to flourish in my soul, that there's this abundant life that he's promised me. So I wrote this song and it was just like, it was like a gate opened and all of a sudden I just started writing songs every day. And to this point, since then, that started in April, I guess. And now we're what, about to be November. And I've written about 60 something songs. I can't promise you that they're any good, but I've written a lot of them, and it's been like therapy for me. I said to my wife, I said, I've never needed to write songs for myself as much as I've needed to this year. And it's been a really great and cheaper option than self-therapy.
Do you have a guitar nearby?
I do.
Would you consider just letting me hear what you've been working on?
Leave me in the darkness.
No, that's not the right word. It's, how does it start? It goes,
put me in the desert, I'll rise through the dirt. Leave me in the darkness, I won't wither where it hurts. And if I'm in the forest trying to find my way home, your love will surround me like flowers in the snow. I'm gonna flourish. I'm gonna flourish. Your promises are water for my soul. I know I'm gonna flourish.
I'll ask for your forgiveness now. I might make a few Springsteen references because I'm really high on him right now because of the new record, and I've been listening to him speak a lot doing his press duties.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
He says the first three albums were written a very specific way, but then he was heavily criticized for being, you know, the new Dylan, and he took that very, he didn't take it the right way. He should have taken it as a compliment, but he changed his writing style on record number four, and it went a different direction from there. Are the 60 songs, do you feel a different vibe from 10th Avenue North? That's what I was getting at.
Oh, bro. P.S., you know what my favorite Bruce Springsteen quote is? My sister actually just sent this quote to me yesterday. The blues in the verse, the gospel in the chorus. Isn't that great? I just love that. I think they're radically different, but also I don't think anyone listening to it is going to go, what happened to Mike? This is crazy. I mean, it's still me writing, you know, but there's definitely a permission and release to kind of explore sonically, because I only have to ask myself if I like it instead of having to get permission from all the other bandmates. You know, that's the only downside of being in a band, is it has to go through a large filtering process. And so there's less filtering because it's just me. So I would say musically it's going to be, well, some would say eclectic, other ones would say manic. Kind of depends on your perspective.
Two-part question. One thing you'll truly miss about 10th Avenue North, one thing you are celebrating that you'll never have to do again while being in 10th Avenue North.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously the thing I'll miss the most is just the camaraderie. I said many times out on the road, we would do shows with a solo artist and I would go, oh man, it seems kind of lonely for that guy, you know, because the guys playing music with him are just paid musicians. And sometimes you'd see, you know, even female artists, you'd see like the artist and she's off doing her thing or he's doing his own thing. And then the musicians he's hired are sort of doing their own thing. And you, as a band, for better or worse, you are more of like brothers than bandmates. I mean, you're just spending almost every day together all the time. But the community out of that was incredible. That's what I will miss fondly. The thing I will not miss, I mean, quite frankly, is if you have five people in a band, you have to do five times as many concerts to make money to support your family. So the economic burden of having lots of people in a band, that feels much less stressful now that it's just me.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? And why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? Where you gonna run? Cause I'll be by by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. And my hands are holding you.
My gosh, do I miss a live show right now?
Oh, it's the best. There's nothing like it. And we've been doing online concerts, you know, to try to fill in the gaps. And it's actually been really good. I think everyone's going, okay, well, since we can't go to live concerts, we'll get a ticket for an online show. But it's not the same, you know.
Author Mike Donaghy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
You're past the release of your book. What's that experience been like?
You know, it was all very positive for me. I think having released so much music over the years, putting out a book was way less stressful because you're kind of used to, as a songwriter, you go, hey, do you guys like this part of my soul? And people go, no. Oh, okay. How about this part of my soul? Nah. Okay. How about this part? Oh yeah, we kind of like that part. Oh, great. My editor of my book actually commented on how taken aback she was at my ease of receiving criticism when they would say, hey, this section needs to be worked on. I don't think you quite know what you're saying here. And she would, I remember, and I'd go, okay, great, I'll work on it. And she went, oh, we don't usually get that sort of feedback from authors. They usually are pretty precious about what they've written. And I said, man, I've been songwriting for 20 years. I'm used to walking in a room and going, do you like this? And they're like, no, I hate it. And you just have to keep digging, you know?
You want to do it again?
I do. I am working on a book right now. I've got some ideas percolating. I want to write a book about how to disagree over non-essential items in the Christian faith and do it in a loving way. And how to, like, actually go, okay, what is actually essential and what is non-essential? Because the way we argue, particularly online, it seems like we forget what's essential and what's non-essential. And we have a habit of taking a non-essential disagreement and making it much bigger than it should be. This is going to sound strong. I don't know how in depth you want to get. It's a podcast though, right? So we can like say whatever we want. No rules in podcasts. I am really drawn to the people who I feel are abused at the hands of religious institution. Now, let me kind of unpack that a little bit. There's hundreds of kids that I've met over the years who were kicked out of their youth group because they didn't believe in a 7-day creation story. And I go, guys, what? Like, I get it if you go, no, I really believe it is an actual 7-day. But to kick a kid out, like, I don't see Jesus asking anybody to prove to him that they know that they believe in a 7-day creation story to follow him. And the list goes on from there. You know, I know a lot of people who have suffered sexual abuse, and when they tried to talk about it, they were dismissed and not believed and told to stop talking or leave the youth group or whatever. And man, alcohol, okay? People are kicked out of certain denominations because they believe that they can have a glass of wine at dinner, you know? The list goes on and on. So I've really thought about, what if I just, from my own personal experience, kind of shared a bunch of stories of these different topics? And oh, here's the last one I'll share. This, I'm getting less intense now, but my family dressed up as Harry Potter characters one year for Halloween, and bro,
I remember that photo.
Bro, the comments, you would have thought that I had murdered all the babies in the world. And so just going, hey, listen, I think this is a non-essential item. Like, I don't think there's any express like, I don't think I'm going to get kept out of heaven for being Harry Potter at Halloween, you know. We're very all or nothing. We have a really hard time seeing shades of gray. It's just all or nothing a lot of times. And you go, what, there's bad things that happen in Halloween and these terrible things have happened in the past. It's really hard to see past that and go, yeah, but look, this is the only day of the whole year that everyone in your neighborhood is out talking to each other. It's the only day. So get out there. And even if you feel bad about costumes, and just hang out on your front porch and like talk to people, you know?
If someone were to Google you and read the crazy Wikipedia page, according to the Wikipedia page, you got your ear ripped off.
That is almost true. When I was in a near fatal car accident when I was a senior in high school, I got ejected from a vehicle. And when I hit the ground, I broke my skull and my back, and my ear ripped halfway off. So it was sort of, it was a perforated edge. It was halfway detached from my skull bone. So it was ripped halfway down, and they had to reattach that part of my ear.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of vitamin E helped the skin grow back.
Did they find that at the crash site, or was it still kind of attached?
No, it was halfway. It was just dangly.
Wow.
She's got lots of earrings, the dangly ones.
Left or right ear?
Right ear.
In case we see each other ever again.
Yeah, I'll show you my scars.
I think about Jeff and the other guys. I wonder what the experience is going to be like when you put out your first solo record, them listening to you going, wow, look at this guy.
Ah, he did it without us.
He went ahead and did it without us.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say, we've all had a very like cheering each other on sort of mentality. When Jason was our drummer, he left our band to work at Compassion. We all cheered him on, said, awesome, go be amazing at that. And when Brendan, our piano player, left to go start a farm, an organic farm with his wife down in Florida, we're like, yes, do it. Grow the best fruit and let me come and harvest it and enjoy it. And then when Ruben, our bass player, said, hey, I want to go into real estate, we're like, yes, sell all the houses. We hope you do amazing. And then when Jeff goes, hey, I want to get off the road and just produce music and write for film and TV, you know, we go, yes, do it. That would be amazing. So I'm hoping that's a reciprocal sort of feeling that everyone has, and that they would, they'd be excited.
You're hoping all the guys go, yes, flourish.
I'll say Jeff, our guitar player, you know, I played a bunch of songs for him the other day, and he goes, bro, I think these are my favorite songs you've ever written. So that's a good sign.
My thanks to Mike Donaghy, 10th Avenue North. The new album is called Unplugged for the People, the acoustic greatest hits. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Feel free to review, rate, share with a pal. As always, thanks for listening.
I'm tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. You can mend a heart that's frail and I wanna know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life, and all that's dead inside can be reborn. 'Cause I'm worn.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. One-on-one conversations with some of your favorite artists. Find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Spreaker.com. What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.